Hey everybody, it's time once again for me to give you a recap of the recaps, the weekly video show I put out where I talk about a bunch of new videos that are on YouTube, but more importantly, I talk about a bunch of new board games that are on Board Game Geek. And here is me just taking all of the board games. I don't know, I'm talking about something like 20 or 30 of them over the last month and a half. And if you want to know more about them, you can go on Board Game Geek, you can subscribe and all of that. But folks, without any further ado, let's get to it. I got a bunch of awesome sounding new games to tell you about. Let's go.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Starting with Ziggurat. Oh my gosh, where did this come from, folks? Rob Davio and Matt Leacock are getting together again to make another legacy game. But unlike every time they've worked before, this is not based on an existing franchise. This is a totally new setting. It's a dungeon exploration game. Apparently the campaign will have 6 levels you play through. And then of course you've got a fully customized version of this world that you can replay over and over again. It's from Mindware, the publisher behind Quirkle. Everything about this game is surprising. I don't understand, but I have to know more. And this has rocketed to the top of my must-have list. Okay, then we've got Spectacular. And this is from the design team of brothers, Eilif and Asmund Svensson. We've worked together before on Riverside, and Come Together made my top 10 games of 2022. It's a phenomenal game. And so I'm always excited to see them working together, or pretty much anything Eilif does, but hey, working with his brother makes it even better. This one looks like a kind of entwined drafting a la Cascadia style game, where okay, I gotta pick a tile and I gotta pick the thing it's associated with. This time it's tiles bound up with dice, and the dice represent food to feed in the to the animals that are in the habitats of the tiles that you're building your own little space on. Again, they've got a great pedigree, and I cannot wait to check that out. Okay, what's up next? Oh, Citizens of the Spark. This is exciting because it's from designer Phil Dubarry. And Phil Dubarry is back. I mean, for folks who may not remember, like half a decade ago, Phil was on fire putting out really, really some of the biggest games of the age. But he's really gone silent for, gosh, 5 or 6 years now. But this is going to be a return to form. Hopefully, I'm very excited. Thunderworks is the publisher. You know, they do Cartographers, Role Player. And this kind of sounds like a Magic the Gathering style, really big game with tons of cards, tons of combos. What you do is, I think the game comes with like 30 different animal, citizen, anthropomorphic animal creatures. There's 30 in the box. You mix a random assortment of 10 of them, shuffle them all up, and start playing. And like I said, from the description on Board Game Geek, this sounds as big and complex combo-wise as a Magic the Gathering, but we're actually building up a civilization rather than trying to destroy each other, which gets me very excited. That's what I want to see. And again, Phil Dubarry is back. I don't know. Maybe he spent the last half a decade making this game. It sounds so big. So I'm looking forward to that. And if you want to know more about it, folks, you can go to Board Game Geek. All the games I'm talking about, there's links for them down in the show notes. You can add them to your wish list if they sound interesting. What's next? Oh, this got a lot of attention this week. Life in Reterra. This is Eric Lang teaming up with Eric Gruhl, so 2 Erics are better than 1, and I am excited about this because Eric, for the first time in quite a while, is making a game that's not all about fighting and destroying each other and dudes on a map. This is a game about tiling, game about building up a civilization. And it's interestingly, it's from publisher Hasbro, which means it's probably going to be a more, you know, mass market friendly style game. But I have seen Eric has said this is one of his strongest designs he's ever made. So does it mean it's an Eric Lang game made for me and Jen? I'm very excited to find out. Then what we got? Oh man, there were so many games this week, folks. Kokeshi. This is co-designed by the designer of a sadly overlooked game called Nomopolis. I covered it a couple of years ago. Nomopolis was phenomenal. So anything from that guy, Igor Knop, I'm going to be interested in the future. This is engine building with a focus on track progression. And I love working my way up tracks, all, you know, Zolkin the Mayan calendar and stuff like that. But here, moving your way up the tracks makes your engine stronger as you're activating more things and trying to combo the different and tracks together. I am interested both as a designer and because that sounds like two great mechanisms that I absolutely love. Then we've got Barcelona, Passeig de Gràcia. Barcelona made my top 10 games of 2023. Here comes its first big expansion from Board and Dice. Yeah. And I mean, honestly, I didn't think, the game needed any expansion, but this does sound cool. It adds a whole separate board, like a whole new game element, where there are dice that represent pedestrians walking along the boulevard looking at all the buildings that we're making. And, of course, you've got to make them happy. So now you've got this whole extra level of consideration as you try to build up the beautiful buildings of Barcelona and keep those pedestrians happy. Okay. Ooh. Skulls of Sedlak, expansion collection number 3. Although I could easily talk about expansion collection number 2 and number 1 as well. This is all part of the current crowdfunding campaign going on GameFound right now from Button Shy Games. They're bringing back a lot of older games that have been out of print for quite a while, bringing out some expansions. I mean, Skulls of Sedlak is one of their biggest hits, and the more cards you throw in the Skulls of Sedlak, the better it gets. And so they've got like 3 new ones, but this is your chance, and this is my chance, because I've just got Skulls of Sedlak and a couple of little expansions. I want all of that stuff, and so they're all wrapped up together in these new collections. Plus, Seasons of Rice is back. Coincidentally, I just did a run-through of that the other day. Button Shy, as I said before, is one of the best kept secrets in board gaming. You owe it to yourself, folks, to go check it out. I'll put a link for their GameFound campaign because it's only running for a few more days. Link down in the show notes. Okay, and let me know, what do you think is the best Button Shy game? I know everybody's got their opinions. What else? Brink, which is not a tie-in with the video game that I personally designed. This is a sequel to Moonrakers by Ivy Studios, who are, they just can do no wrong. Moonrakers is a very popular kind of card drafting game. This is now worker placement set in deep space, focusing on trade between players and exploration. So it really has a different feel, although set in the same universe as Moonrakers. So I'm interested. I mean, Shay did a great run-through of Moonrakers on the channel if you want to go check it out. One thing I'm worried about, it says it features hidden voting. I don't know how well that's going to work for 2 players, but I'm interested to find out more. Then, okay, Tropicalia. Last week, I talked about Sinister Institute, Phil Walker Harding teaming up with publisher Mojito, and that wasn't the only one. We've got this one as well. It's a worker placement game where you're, changing tiles represents the island that you're developing and harvesting fruit to sell. So I'm excited because of the designer, but honestly, I'm excited because of artist Xavier Durin, who's, the artist on Takedo, Big Book of Madness, Seasons, one of the best artists in the industry, quite frankly. So this game is going to be jaw-droppingly gorgeous. It's a Phil Walker Harding design, so it's probably going to be a lot of fun, too. Then we've got, let's talk about, who is this publisher, Mojito? They're just coming out of nowhere. Big hitter designers, big hitter artists. We've got Lords of Worlds. It's Kramer and Kiesling. Anytime these two work together, I gotta check it out. And this time, we're shopping in a gigantic intergalactic space mall, trying to buy stuff to take back to our own home world. Kramer and Kiesling, you had me at that, and Mojito as well. Okay, folks, I think that is it. Let's talk about, I think I had 4 new games that I found on BoardGameGeek that I thought were so amazing. I had to add them high on my wish list. Links for them are down in the show notes along with everything else I'm talking about today, folks. First of all, let's start with Gardlings, which is from Christian Ospie, who I recently realized I labeled him my number 4 highest ranked board game designer of all time. And I kind of stick by that. He's got such an amazing pedigree of games that he has produced over the years. Hey, are we? Oh, we're in a new town. Is this the town where we're stopping, Honey Pie?
Yes.
Okay, we might be stopping for a second, folks. But anyway, Gardlings, The Magnificent, Escape, Curse of the Temple, Revive. I mean, the man is on fire, so whenever he puts out a new design, I want to check it out. This is a push-your-luck bag-building game where instead of meeples or dice or cubes in the bag, you're putting tiles in the bag that represent your garden that you're trying to expand, and you're pulling more and more tiles. You're building up with lots of cool tiles in there, but there's garden gnomes in there also, and you're pulling, trying to make the best garden you can, but don't push your luck too hard because the gnomes will overrun you. And I don't know, that sounds cute and fun. I'm mostly here because Christian Ospie has not let me down so far. An amazing designer. Then we've got AI 100% Human. And I'm interested in this one because it's from a new publisher, Explorate, who did Federation. And if you remember, Federation, I believe, made my top 10 of, was it 2022? Maybe it was 2023. And so they're back with another new game. This is a drafting card game that is all about the, you know, the development of AI and how it's going to change the modern world. Very timely topic. But from a gameplay perspective, what it sounds like is very cool. You draft the cards and they activate immediately to give you some effect, but sometimes you don't want to activate them immediately. You want to set them aside so you can combo them and get a whole bunch. So you have this reserve you can put them in instead. So it sounds like, from the very limited description, a very, very cool hand management game where you're trying to keep these cards under control because AI is growing so fast. Can you keep it in the reserve? Sounds interesting. Like I said, Explorate's Federation was amazing, so I definitely wanted to check out AI 100% Human. Then we've got Architects of Amidus? I don't know. This is going to be my latest in a series of games that nobody knows how to pronounce, and the publisher won't put the pronunciation. Amytis. How do you pronounce that? Let me know down in the comments, because maybe I probably want to cover this game eventually. Anyway, this is an entwined tile-laying game. That sounds very, very cool. The cover box art looks really nice. And it's basically this idea of, hey, I send a worker out to grab a tile from the board, add it to my own board. I can lay the tiles out. I can stack them higher. So I always really like a dual level tile tile lane games. But the interesting thing is the worker that I sent out to the main board to get the tile stays there, and we're playing literally a game of tic-tac-toe because I'm trying to get three of my workers in a row or a column or diagonally to get bonuses. So I don't want to just grab any old tile. I want to grab the ones that help me win this side game of tic-tac-toe. I don't think it's competitive. I think it's just tic-tac-toe-esque. You're just trying to get rows or columns, so it really kind of limits you on the draft. Should be, I mean, that sounds really neat to me. So I'm excited to give that one a go. Jen is doing some very high skill parking right now because apparently she's going to go to, where are we, Honey Pie?
We're going right there to the Village Gallery.
We're going to the Village Gallery of this little town just outside of Sedona. But I've got one more game to show you, and then I got to go check out the gallery too. It's Inori. Now, this is co-designed, co-designer of The Loop, Theo Riviera, I believe. It's a worker placement game. There's really almost nothing in the description to grab onto, so I don't really know much to tell you about other than from the co-designer of The Loop, one of the greatest co-op games of all time, published by Space Cowboys, one of the most reliable board game publishers today. So I suspect it's going to be very, very nice. And Jen is just about finishing a beautiful, oh, folks, if you could see this parallel parking job she's doing, it's amazing. Anyway, though, well done, Honey Pie. She is the best. And folks, that was it.
Well, I've got five to tell you about that I stumbled across on Board Game Geek that I thought were so good, I'm adding them to my wish list, and maybe you should too. What are they? I'm glad you asked. Let's start with Kyoto no Neko, where we play as kittens and explore the modern-day city of Kyoto, Japan. Just that log line alone has me in. I want to play as a kitten befriend schoolboys, fighting aggressive stray cats, stealing food from other players' neighbors. Okay, I'm not excited about stealing food, but hey, kittens gotta eat, and I will definitely give this a go. It's from Matigo and Cedric Millet? Do I know Cedric? I should have looked this up before I started going. Oh, yeah. Meeple Circus is a big deal. It's got a lot of expansions. Everybody loves Meeple Circus. And now he is doing an adventure exploration game all about cats or kittens in the big city of Tokyo. And I got to say, folks, that sounds absolutely awesome. Who says there aren't new, fun, cool themes in board games? Kyoto no Neko would be my entry into evidence to counter that observation. Next up, we have Adulthood, where you spend your time, energy, and money navigating your adult life. I love game of life style simulations, especially when they're turned into new modern, Euro style sensibilities, as opposed to the classic game of life that I grew up playing as a young kid in the 70s. Anyway, this one from Brotherwise Games and Johnny O'Neill sounds really interesting. Setting up from Pursuit of Happiness or CV, there's so many of them. Your Best Life, etc., etc. This one seems like throughout the game, you need to focus on balance. balancing your personal happiness and the impact you make in the world. That's a new twist that I have not seen in other games of this ilk. But that sounds very interesting to me, you know, a game that kind of analyzes, you know, the tension between, you know, trying to, you know, improve myself, but also improve the world. And how do I find meaning and a well-lived life between those two different drives? I think that sounds amazing. Now, this is another thing that's interesting. It features, according to the category, mature adult humor, I guess. That is not something I've seen before. I don't know. We'll see. But like I said, I'm always here for these kinds of games. And so adulthood sounds very, very interesting to me. Then there is Rebirth, where we restore old lands to their former beauty but in a cozy, hopeful future. Now, this is interesting. It's designer Reiner Knizia and publisher Mighty Boards. That's a cool new combo. It sounds from the description like, you know, fairly lightweight tile land game. But it is set, as it says right here, in a lush, cozy, and hopeful future. You've got me right there, because honestly, that's a message we could use more of in board games. Fewer post-apocalyptic landscapes, please, and more positive views about how we might actually make it through to a better tomorrow. It's fantasy, farming, science fiction, tile placement from Reiner Knizia. Mighty Boards, they are definitely on a streak, and so I'm expecting good things. Can't wait to see some box art for this. Rebirth. Okay, then there is Chateau Combo, where you draft people in the lower and upper city to create a valuable house. Now, this is what really drew my eye, aside from the box art, which I think is actually very attractive, was it's a quick and nifty game from the publisher of Far Away. Far Away was in my wife's top 10 best games last year. She loved it so much. It is really flying under the radar and deserves more attention. So just taking an opportunity to say, people, go check out Far Away. It's amazing. There's a reason to talk about this. But the description sounds really neat, too, where we spend coins to draft 9 cards from 2 open markets, creating a 3x3 square of people interacting with each other to trigger instant and end-of-game bonuses. I know that's the kind of stuff I like. Trying to get the right cards, having enough money to get them, put them in the right space to activate adjacent things or trigger in-game bonuses. That all sounds fantastic. And again, Ketchup Games knocked it out of the park with Far Away. So I expect good things for Chateau Combo. And then the last one I've got is Eat Zem All. EATZEMALL. This is a zombie game, folks. This one does have some pictures. So I'm going to go ahead and show a picture of it. It's a zombie game where we're the zombies. We're not the brave humans, each one with their own special, unique player powers and whatnot that are fighting off the waves of zombies that are storming the house and all that. We're controlling the waves of zombies. And as we take those humans down, we absorb their powers into our horde and become more powerful. That is, for me, a very, very cool twist. Approaching the subject matter from a completely different direction. And, the box art looks great. You know, this, shot of the game set up looks like it could be a lot of fun. So this is very promising to me. Controlling the horde, trying to get them to overrun the hapless humans so we can eat them all. And that is it, folks. Let's talk about some games, shall we? Where are they? I'm still getting used to doing things back home because I've been doing this on the road for so long. Okay, here we go. I got my games queued up. I've got 1, 2, 3, only 4 games that really jumped out at me on Board Game Geek this week, but I think they're definitely worth talking to. So let's look at them. For starters, there's Mythwind, Friends and Family. I just recently got a copy of Mythwind. I haven't played it yet, but I'm very excited to give it a try because I really love the asymmetry and the laid-back nature of it and all of that. But one thing I've heard a lot, probably the number one complaint about this game is that there's no real significant interaction between players. Everybody's playing their own little game, which for me as a multiplayer solitaire fan is not a problem, but I see why some people are bothered by that. And so this new expansion, because it's going to be crowdfunding for a new reprint of the game and this expansion will be available. It's coming very soon. And it adds several things. The biggest one, character interaction. Every player type will have a unique way to interact. So the the town merchant will be able to sell stuff to other players. The blacksmith will be able to make stuff for other players. The adventurer will bring stuff back that other players can use. I'm hypothesizing. It just says each playable character gains a unique way to interact with every other character in play. That seems like the number one thing that people wanted to see from this game, and they're delivering. But then they're going above and beyond. Villagers you can become friends with, best friends, they can become life partners. I'm thinking back to my early life as a video game designer working on Fable, and so some of those ideas are coming into board game form, more of a focus on socializing. I mean, and that's one of the things that just makes Mythwind so attractive and evocative and exciting for me, that this is a fantasy world that isn't about going out and slaying a bunch of stuff and having adventures. It's just about living your best life, but in a beautiful, bucolic, almost fable-esque world, and it seems like friends and family is going to make it even more so. So I am very excited about that. I might even have to wait on playing Mythwind until I get my hands on this. We'll see. Let's see, what else did I have? Oh, Everbloom. Actually, in last week's recap, Grant had a Gamma Game Show wrap-up, and one of the games he talked about there was Everbloom. And I looked at it a little bit more, and I went back and watched his video again, and he really sold me on it. There's not much here on Board Game Geek. There's just one picture of the absolutely beautiful cover art. This is a fantastical world where animals and plants combine. Basically, the creatures of this world are both flora and fauna. They are the pollinators and the things that need pollinating. But what that translates to, there's no description on Board Game Geek, but the way Grant described it, it's kind of like an auction game where you're putting feelers out, and wherever you put your auction, you also make connections to adjoining things. That sounds interesting to me, particularly when Grant talked about how, much like Furnace, sometimes you desperately want to lose your auction because there's different types of benefits you can get instead of what you're actually bidding on. And that's so amazing in Furnace, and this game looks so beautiful, and Grant spoke so highly of it because he actually got to play a full game of it at Gamma, that I decide I've got to put this on my wish list. I mean, just look at that. And go watch Grant's Gamma wrap-up from last week's recap, if you didn't already, and see if he doesn't sell you on it as well as he sold me on it. Another one I've got is Harmony. And I don't know the designer, Jose Soto or DMZ Games, not really very well known to me, but what really drew me to this is it is a cooperative deck building game where we are trying to return light to the world, do standard kind of fantastical adventure-y stuff. But there's two things that drew me in. One, the art is really evocative, really gorgeous, really jumps out at me as a world I want to explore and experience. But when they talk about the cooperative deck building, one of the big features is, as you and I are building our decks, working together, trying to coordinate our activities, we can actually take cards out of our deck and give them to each other. So I'm building my deck and your deck at the same time. That sounds like a cool proposition. I would like to learn more about Harmony. And then the last one, man, nobody knows anything about this, but it's God of War the board game. Now, 4 years ago, Cool Mini or Not brought out God of War the card game. And honestly, that was not bad. It was surprisingly good. It had some really amazing ideas in it, and it was just kind of held back by the fact that they pushed too hard for it to be a gateway. The card effects for, because it was a deck-building style game, the card effects were a bit too simple, and the difficulty level was non-existent. It was way too easy. So they kind of hedged their bets. But the core ideas of the game, the way you fought these big, gigantic monsters in kind of boss puzzly video game form, was amazing. Thought it was really, really cool. So if they brought some of those ideas into the sequel, into a full proper board game, and give us something with some real meat on the bones, well, color me excited. I mean, I remember playing the original God of War 1, which I haven't played any AM beyond those, but more than anything else, the God of War card game had a bunch of really surprising and great ideas, and I hope this builds on those. And I think that's it, folks.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Now, let's talk about some new games, because like I said, folks, I like to keep my finger on the pulse, and now I'm going to put your finger on that same pulse, because every week I spend a couple of hours basically looking at every single new game that gets added to the Board Game Geek database. It takes me quite a long time. There are hundreds of these games, and I look at all of them, and of all of those games, I've got four that really stood out to me that I put on my wish list as like-to-haves or greater. And there'll be links for them down on BoardGameGeek if you want to add them to your wish list as well. And subscribe so you can find out more about the games as more becomes known. All right, anyway, let's get going. Starting with Neko Syndicate. And I have to admit, my bad, folks. I actually saw this one a few weeks ago, maybe even a month ago when it first went on the database, and I just kind of skipped over it. I ignored it because one of the things I do when I'm to be able to look through hundreds of games and just try to get through it quickly, I often quickly just look at the mechanism. And I saw Pick Up and Deliver, and I'm like, Pick Up and Deliver, don't care. Oh, yeah, okay, it's about cat organized crime, and you know, that's all silly and interesting, but I'm just like, I just don't know. But what I missed, folks, it's from designer Danny Garcia, who is fast becoming my most favoriteest designer of all time. I've loved everything he's done so far, and so I must play this game now. So, hey, if anybody can make me like Pick Up and Deliver, it's going to be Danny, and the description sounds very interesting. Unfortunately, there's no real pictures other than the box art. But there's a pyramid of kind of worker placement spots that you work your way down the pyramid and you're grabbing things and moving them from one location to another. So it's kind of Pick Up and Deliver by way of one directional worker placement. That does sound interesting, I will admit. But again, I'm here for Danny Garcia. Whatever he's putting in a cardboard box, I've got to try, including Neko Syndicate. Then there was also SETI, The Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. This is the latest game from Czech Games Edition. And I was really shocked. I was actually... They put out a trailer for it this week, CGE did, and it's an amazingly good trailer, and I thought I'd just be able to say, hey, watch the trailer, but they haven't put it on BoardGameGeek yet. So now I'm thinking I should have made that one of my shortlist, hey, videos you should watch this week. I just thought it'd be easy to find. But you can do a search for CGE SETI, and you'll find it on YouTube. Anyway, what is it? It's from a relatively new designer. And it is about the near future search for terrestrial life, where we are scanning terrestrial, or, you know, terrestrial bodies, or actually sending out probes to look for it. It sounds really cool. CGE always puts out bangers. And if you watch the video, you can see this in motion, but there is a static picture of it here. The celestial bodies are constantly in motion with this three or four level deep spinning thing that represents all the different planets. And so with the sun in the center, and so things are constantly literally in motion as we are trying to plot out what our escape routes are to get our probes out there into deep space and all that. It sounds very, very cool. And again, CGE always puts together, if not games that work for me in Gen, always at least games that I'm always glad I tried. And so I'm very keen for SETI, Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. Then we've got Don't Starve, the board game. And now, this is from Glass Cannon Unplugged, and they have really been making a name for themselves with video game adaptations recently. And everybody, not just Kimberly, who did a run-through for Frostpunk on the channel, but everybody who's talked about Frostpunk loved it. And I saw Dying Light at the Dice Tower West Convention Library, and again, everybody seemed to be loving it. So Glass Cannon seems to have cracked the code of taking big, robust video game experiences and making them work on the tabletop. So, I haven't played any, but maybe this is the one that I want to. It is a co-op, dungeon crawler, I guess, which I have to admit, explore, fight, survive, most importantly, don't starve. There's very little information here. I'm mostly going, again, on the pedigree of the Frostpunk and what Glass Cannon has done before, but there is one thing worth pointing out. I saw this picture. I want to play that game. I assume this is, you know, obviously taking art directly from the video game, but obviously this is straight up Tim Burton-esque Frankenweenie type stuff, and I love this aesthetic. So I want to play a game. I mean, heck, even if I'm only so-so on the gameplay, just the presentation here makes me more excited. Heck, that was actually a topic in the Q&A I did. Full circle, the Q&A this week was, one of the topics was games where the theme was so great it made me overcome my distaste for mechanisms. Maybe this is going to be one of them. But just look at that. Don't you want to play this game? I know I do. So I had to put it on my short list. Don't Starve the Board Game. And then finally, Super. Unfortunately, no real information. One thing I do know, Johannes Goopy is definitely a designer to watch these days. Far Away is phenomenal. Rahua is freaking amazing. It's another one that I talked about in that engine building games list that was in the latest R&R. Orcalcum was very, very cool. Queens was great. Johannes is a designer to be watched. And he's here with Jeremy Ducret. I don't recognize Jeremy's name. I should have looked before I started filming. I do not know Jeremy's work, but I do know Johannes's work. But more importantly, I'm just pulled in by this. This is a game where, you know, the equivalent of the Avengers or the Justice League have stepped down, and now we in this world are trying to make the best new super friends, super group of heroes. But we are having to, you know, mix and match the right heroes together to make a good team, but we are also focusing on social media. We're trying to make sure that they are a popular team as well. And that, you know, we win by attracting 60 million followers as quickly as possible. So I'm sure there's superhero, you know, dramatics and probably things to fight and all that. But will you become the number one superhero agency? Because it's more about marketing the heroes than actually finding the bad guys. That tickles me pink. I love that as a new twist on something we've seen a lot of. So yeah, Super, which I'm telling you about this way early, folks. We won't be seeing this until 2025, but it definitely goes on my wish list as a game I would love to check out. And yeah, that's it, folks. Another week recapped. And we gotta go, folks, because I've got so many fun games here. Oh, look at this. Look at this. Oh, by the way, there's the playlist. Right, there's the playlist. You want to hit that. But I don't have time to talk anymore because look at this, folks. I gotta play all of these. Oh my goodness, I'm so excited. Can you see them? I'm taunting you. I'm toying with you. I am teasing you here. But anyway, I assume by now you've already left because you are not having any of my shenanigans anymore. And that's it, folks. A few more episodes of new games all wrapped up in audio form. We'll see you again in another month with a bunch more new games you're gonna want to hear about. Okay.